The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back. Your bastards are on here with your MLB wildcard prediction show. I am your host, Charlie Smith. Join me tonight with four other bastards today: Chris Filico, Jason Kelly, Terry Cushman Jr., and Nick the Voice. This season could not have ended any way that any of us could have possibly imagined, but we're going to get right into it unless anybody has some leading thoughts before we go over the wild card series. Anybody have anything to talk about? No? Okay. Well, earlier this year, we had a prediction of 88 wins for me and 90 for Jeremy, and the Red Sox said, well, forget you both. We're going to do it right in the middle. So 89 for the final. I guess Jeremy and I can high five. I might need like a ladder to reach him because he's so damn tall, but here we go. So Boston Red Sox will be facing our hated rivals, the New York Yankees. It's going to be a quick three game set all in New York. I'm not a fan of that setup, but, Chris, our sacrificial lamb, you get to go first. What do you think the series is going to look like?
I think it's going to be a quicker series. I don't think it's going to go three. I think it's going to go two. Unfortunately, I am picking the Yankees to win the series. I mean, if we don't win game one, I think we would all agree it's probably over, because even if you win the Bayo start with the news of Giolito and this elbow, I mean, who are you throwing out there in game three? It's going to be a mishmash. The Yankees, what I don't like about this series is the Yankees are like 20 games above 500 at home. They couldn't be any hotter going into this series. And I still have that taste in my mouth from the way that we ended the year against the Yankees. And I'm one of the guys who said that in baseball, there's no momentum, but there's a lot of different things that kind of play a role here, whether it's our health, the way the Yankees are playing. We still don't have our best hitters. They're injured. We knew that was going to be the case. The Yankees don't have any major injuries. I mean, let's face it, Trent Grisham would be our best hitter on this team at this point if we had him, but the Yankees have him. And when I just look through the lineup and I go player by player, I just don't know if we have the firepower to keep up. I don't think Crochet is going to get lit up. I'm not saying that. I just think he could have a good start and we could still lose, and that scares the hell out of me. So that's my feeling right now. Obviously subject to change, but what you guys think?
Jason.
So I actually think it is going to go all three. And I've been racking my brain all day between picking the Red Sox, picking the Yankees. I think eventually I'm going to pick the Red Sox. I think you win the Crochet game because I think he can just outduel Max Fried. And maybe it's an ugly kind of 2-1 game. It takes a late inning magic to get it done. But I think you can get it done. I don't feel good about Wednesday's game. I don't feel good about Brian Bayo in that spot. His last start against Toronto was alarming to me. Like, it was the old Brian Bayo with, a call doesn't go his way. He starts putting guys on base and then he gets emotional and then it's a disaster and it all falls apart. And Yankee Stadium in October is a menace to pitch in. It's the worst stadium experience for an opposing pitcher. I don't feel good about Brian Bayo in that spot. And he's going up against Rodon. The Red Sox have not been good against left-handed pitching this year. So I think Rodon and the Yankees are going to take that one. And then it's going to come down to Thursday. And I'm hoping that we're getting a Connelly early start for the Red Sox. I think that makes the most sense. I don't want them trying to do a bullpen thing. I don't want them using Peyton Tolley. Throw out the lefty who's got, the complete arsenal. I like his makeup. I think he can handle an environment like Yankee Stadium. And, the Yankees are right now, they're slated to pitch Cam Schlittler, who's actually a local kid. He's from Walpole, Mass. So like literally right down the street from me, 24 years old, a lot of talent. But again, this is going to be a new experience for him too. So it's going to be a battle of the young kids on Thursday. And I think that Connelly early just probably has a little bit of an edge there. You know, you put a lefty against that lineup, you know, you can exploit that lineup a little bit. Bellinger is kind of mitigated. Jazz Chisholm doesn't hit well against lefties. Austin Wells doesn't. So if you just avoid Aaron Judge hitting a grand slam off of you, which hopefully they can do, I think the Red Sox can eke this one out. It's going to be tough. Like, they're not going to be any easy games here. But I do think the Red Sox have a slight advantage over the Yankees. So I'm going to go Red Sox in three.
Terrence.
I'll partially agree with Jason on that. I think it will go all three, but I have to pick the Yankees in New York. And the reason why I think it will go three is because Garrett Crochet has absolutely owned them in his last couple of starts against them. And in his most recent one, struck out 12. That was at Fenway Park, Yankee Stadium. The start before that, struck out 11. The dude just wasn't fazed. And I don't know that they're going to be able to solve him. And so I'm willing to give the Red Sox game one. Brian Bayo had that brilliant start at some point in August against the Yankees. Gave up zero runs. The Red Sox only scored one run. That was all they needed to win that game. And then in his final outing against the Yankees, gave up four earned, did not look nearly as sharp, hasn't looked sharp much as of late. So, and then game three, I don't like anybody other than maybe Giolito taking that start, and we're not going to get him. So I don't know who the fourth starter is. You can do it with three. I mean, they're going to be out of gas if they got to the World Series, but it just doesn't look good. And I think the Yankees are sick of not getting it done. I think they're sick of 21 years of losing to the Red Sox every time in the month of October. And I just feel like Yankee Stadium is just going to be too big of an advantage. And you had Mookie Betts finally have that breakout monster October last year. I think Judge could be that guy this year. So I give an edge to the Yankees. I mean, if the Red Sox come away with it, they won the season series, I won't be shocked. But Yankees have been the hottest team in baseball since the first week of August. No team has won more. So Yankees Nick. In three.
Yeah, you know, all good points. I think that on paper, at the very least, these pitching matchups look to be fun, especially if we do get a battle of the kids, you know, in game three between Early and Schlittler. And I do think that may be what it comes down to. I think this is going to be a three-game series, specifically because of Bayo, honestly. He's coming off of a bad September, which is at the tail end of a very good year. And like you said, Terry, a bad final game versus the Yankees, despite putting up very good numbers against the Yankees really so far his career. I see this being a tough series, probably a lot of home runs from the Yankees. That's what their offense is known for. A lot of doubles, no doubt, from both teams combined. Hopefully this offense can get it done. I agree. You know, I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop when it comes to the New York Yankees, because the Red Sox really have just been beating them around for the past 20 something years. But I feel going into this series that I'm more confident against the Yankees, strangely enough, than I would have been versus the Guardians. I don't know why, but I'm going to give this to the Red Sox. Red Sox in three.
So I'm also going to be echoing the sentiments of both Jason and Nick for a couple of reasons. One, I think the Yankees, and Landon, one of our commenters, is going to love this. I think the Yankees have been irrelevant for two decades. Your only World Series title in the 21st century was bought, along with multiple World Series before that. In fact, I don't know how many World Series titles they have without being bought. And for those that don't understand or don't know what I'm talking about, do a little research, read a little bit, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The 90s titles, all bought. 2009, completely bought. The top three, four free agents on the market, all purchased. So, you know, go ahead and say whatever you want, but here's the thing. Garrett Crochet, better than any pitcher you guys have in the New York Yankees, on the New York Yankees team. Better than any pitcher in the American League. I would rather have Garrett Crochet than literally anybody else. He is your 2025, should be, Cy Young of this year. So you win game one. Sorry, Landon, you're wrong. And then you just have to find a way to split the rest of the series. The most embarrassing outcome, and we haven't talked about it yet, wouldn't be the Boston Red Sox losing 2-0. The most embarrassing outcome of this wildcard series would be the New York Yankees losing 2-0. And here's the thing. Miracles do happen. The Yankees got swept. The Red Sox made the Yankees their baby. It was so abundantly clear that they had nothing. And you could say, oh, well, Giancarlo Stanton wasn't healthy and DJ LeMahieu wasn't here and he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. It was just, you know, it wasn't a good situation. You win game one, you find a way to split the rest of the series, you can get it done. The idea that Trent Grisham would be your best hitter on your team over somebody like Trevor Story, who I'd still rather have than Trent Grisham, who's literally known really over the past couple of years, not for his bat, because, you know, playing in that little league ballpark of Yankee Stadium, you're going to hit a lot of home runs. And so when they say the New York Yankees have four or five guys with 20 plus home runs, it doesn't really carry any water with me. It doesn't mean anything because that stadium's a joke. Grisham is known for his like kind of nonchalant, like just kind of catches, just like da, 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 and catches the ball. And for anyone that doesn't know what I'm talking about, literally just look up Trent Grisham highlights. The guy's a really good defender. He's not a fantastic hitter. He is on any other team, he would not have 20 home runs, but at Yankee Stadium, of course, he's going to figure out a way to do it. And literally, I was just about to say this, but Robert Little, you're absolutely correct. All the pressure is on the Yankees, because if you lose game one, there is nothing short of 100% pressure to win game two. Because if Bayo all of a sudden does get his wings and finds Jesus and you lose game two too, you guys are watching yet another postseason from the couch where you guys have been for over two decades in the 21st century. So win game one, as I've said multiple times, and then split the series. Red Sox in three. Three of us say 2-1 to Boston, 1-2-1 to the Yankees, and Chris, 2-0 to the Yankees. That is a bold, bold statement. So, Chris, since you were the bold statement of... Oh, yeah, Terry, go ahead.
You're on mute, Terry.
That's because I was talking shit in the chat about another podcast. I forgot where I was going to go. Oh, yeah. First two games, the Yankees are trotting out lefties. No Abreu. We shouldn't be laughing about no Yoshida, but he was the best hitter in the last week, so he's probably not going to be in there. So I don't know. There's just a lot of weird dynamics at play that are interesting. Now, our bench will be very good later on, theoretically, if the game's close, but just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, and, you know, I would add in that something that's been on my mind is obviously the lack of a Yankees killer, right? Earlier in the year, we had Devers. He passed the torch pretty effectively to Roman Anthony. Who is going to be the new guy? Is it going to be Masataka Yoshida? who I say that flippantly and half-jokingly, but it's only half because he has been having an absolute fire September. Sedan Rafael has been heating up. Maybe Bregman is going to come live this postseason alongside Trevor Story. I mean, this offense is strange, and I feel like it's a little more multi-factor than the Yankees is sometimes. You know, the Yankees are one of those teams that they're under the microscope, right? Because year after year, they have shown themselves to be a fantastic regular season team. When they get to the postseason, with the exception of last year, which, you know, Terry and I discussed last time, I think maybe even after the show, they kind of had a very easy path to that World Series where they got exposed by the Dodgers. So this really is going to be a high pressure, something to prove series for the Yankees, which I almost think is going to work against them. Cora versus Boone, you know what we say about Cora, but when Cora plays Boone, it somehow seems like Boone gets in his own head. He tries to overmanage and he makes silly mistakes. Hopefully this series is going to be another one of those.
I just like to point out one last thing. This is the, I mentioned the 21 years of them not beating us. This is the weakest Red Sox lineup by far. So, I mean, if the Yankees can't beat the Red Sox this year, they're never going to beat us in the month of October. I'm still picking the Yankees, but I'm just saying, if three of you are right, there's that.
Oh, yeah. And to boot, Yankees have the third highest payroll. They're at $300 million on paper. So if you blow even one game, that's an embarrassment. I don't think anything's going to be worse than what the Mets did, though. You trot out a team of $340 million and you can't win. That's insane. I mean, the team that you – I mean, it's not like Philly didn't have also like a crazy amount of money spent. They're the fourth team on the list. But, I mean, that's pretty embarrassing that you couldn't win your division. You couldn't get it done. That's embarrassing. So I'll leave it there. Let's move into the next series here. So we got the Detroit Tigers, who were an absolute sham of a team the last couple of weeks, losing 11 of 12, which I can't even put into words, that the Cleveland Guardians were 15 and a half games out early July, and they managed to take the division, which is just, I mean, I don't have any words. It was just insane. The absolute comeback of the Cleveland Guardians is something that we definitely should talk about. So, Chris, go ahead.
I thought I was going to get a rebuttal for the Yankee series, but we'll just...
Oh, if you want to go, sure. Go for your rebuttal. That's fine. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that Trent Grisham was obviously tongue-in-cheek. I recognize that Trent Grisham is not the best hitter. However, the fact that we're saying Trevor Story in this series is a concern for me because he's not Aaron Judge, and we don't have a player that's even close to the ilk of Aaron Judge.
You're right. We traded him.
Well, to be fair, even Devers at his best is not Aaron Judge. Not maybe in October, not in the
rest. Yeah, exactly. Aaron Judge is like you or me in the playoffs.
But the thing that scares me is I have a feeling Terry might be right, that this could be the year he possibly does break through, because a player that generationally so talented, like at some point has to have success. Like even A-Rod had a playoff that looked decent. And unfortunately, it was for the Yankees. Now, you know, we hear a lot about like, oh, well, the Yankees haven't done this. Well, we're like, yeah, they haven't won. They were in the World Series last year. The closest we get to this year is last year. They were in the World Series. That's one. Sure. Two, we're talking about, oh, well, they play in this ballpark. That's the ballpark we'll be playing in these three games. So right. I get it's a child's ballpark. But we have to play in the child ballpark for three.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Hopefully. Now, what series were we talking about?
Cleveland hosting the Detroit Tigers. You have a team that just went on fire as opposed to the team that was just huddling around the porta potty. So go ahead.
I don't know why. Like 2 days ago, if you asked me, I was all over the Guardians. I was the guy who was beating the drums for the Guardians saying that's a team the Red Sox should worry about chasing down for that third wild card, second wild card, because it always seems like they find a way to October. They did. The more I've thought about it going into today, I just have this weird feeling that they may have expelled so much energy getting there that the Tigers are going to catch them off guard. Because, listen, the Tigers were, for 90% of the season, the best team, at least in the American League, and for half of it, the best team in baseball. The talent is there. They haven't suffered, you know, terrible injuries that we could explain this. In a three-game series, they still have the pitching. They still have the players to get it done. And I don't know. There's just, like, to me, the Guardians are a lot like the Brewers. Like, they're paper Tigers. They find a way to get to October. Then once they get there, they just kind of crap the bed. So I don't know why. I just feel like the Tigers are going to take it. I think it's going to be a three-game series.
Okay. Jason?
I'm also going to take the Tigers on this one. I wanted to roll with the Guardians. It's a great story, you know, them kind of rallying, taking the division, you know, all that stuff. They don't have the horses. And, you know, they're getting Skubal game one. Tarik Skubal in four games against Cleveland this year has an 0.64 ERA. He dominates that team. And to Chris's point, Cleveland is not very good in their own ballpark in October. That has kind of been a house of horrors for them. It's weird. Like, they play better on the road in the playoffs than they do at home. That Progressive Field used to be Jacobs Field. Like, they've had a lot of heartbreak in that stadium. So the fact that they're hosting, I don't think really makes a difference. I just think Detroit's got the more talented team. They got the more experienced manager. I think AJ Hinch knows how to get these guys ready for October baseball. And they just have the more talented and more consistent lineup. So I know they've kind of been free-falling here in September, but I agree with Chris. I think they're going to get back on track, and the pitching matchups are just going to favor them because you got Skubal game one. Probably Casey Mize is getting game two. He's had a really good year. You look at who Cleveland's trotting out there. I mean, at least according to ESPN, who they're trotting out there, Gavin Williams game one, he's their best starter. But then after that, it's Tanner Bibee and Slade Ciccone, two guys with ERAs in the mid-fours this season. Like, they've been pretty average to below average. So I think Detroit's going to turn it back on here, and I actually think Detroit takes it in two. I think it's going to be quick.
Terry?
I mean, this is a tale of two teams that did not put a very good effort into building their roster and to giving themselves the best shot to go on a deep playoff run. And the Tigers slide started before the trade deadline, and their moves were Chris Paddock and 42-year-old Charlie Morton. I mean, you can't look at me with a straight face and say, we're trying. That's just, so that's what they did. The Guardians, I didn't have time to go through their trade recap, but they traded Shane Bieber, who they could have used. And their closer has a gambling problem, and they went on this amazing run without forget his name already, Emmanuel Clase. So and they've never had an offense the last 15 years. And it's tough. I'm going with Cleveland. I'm going to take the Cleveland Guardians. I think they're more balanced from a pitching perspective outside of obviously Skubal, who I believe, sorry, Charlie, will win the American League Cy Young. And another thing that's kind of weird is Gavin Williams, his last two starts of the season were against the Tigers. He struck out them 9 and 12 times respectively. He's just absolutely mowed them down. It's hard to do for a third time, and good teams will make adjustments. And you look at the Blue Jays Rays game, the Rays starter just absolutely two starts ago against Toronto absolutely destroyed them. And then yesterday Toronto ran them over like a Mack truck because they made adjustments. So I don't know if Detroit has that, capability here. As far as vibes, I mean, that late rally by Cleveland felt special, and Steven Vogt seems like an extremely underrated manager, and it just seems like the Tigers were demoralized. So based on vibes, momentum, overall balance, I don't trust the Tigers bullpen, by the way. Blew a lot of games. They got swept by the Braves the weekend before last. So I just don't feel good about Detroit. I like them better, and if they win, more power to them, but I got to go with Cleveland.
So, oh yeah, go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I just don't see the Tigers being able to get over themselves, really. I mean, 7 wins in the month of September. I just double checked the number because it's hard to believe, really. This was a team, the Tigers, that looked like a juggernaut very early in the season. For the first half, I would say, everyone pretty much had them as the favorites for the American League. It was their league to lose, and it really does appear like they've lost it, whether it's to the Guardians or the Mariners or someone else. I just don't see them getting over themselves. I feel like the Guardians are in their head and they're playing good enough baseball late enough in the year where I agree. I don't think the Guardians are going to make a deep playoff run. They seem like the type of team that unfortunately is going to get exposed probably in the divisional series, but I do think they're going to get the chance to get there. And I think they'll probably take it in three. I'll give it to Cleveland.
So recapping, Chris, you've got Detroit winning it in three. Jason, Detroit in two. Terry and Nick both have Cleveland winning it in three. So earlier, Chris, you had the bold one, right? Yankees in two. Hold on your butts. Cleveland in two. Because I think they're going to find a way to crack Tarik Skubal, who somehow, by some stretch of imagination, could possibly win, you know, the Cy Young. And I'll put an asterisk next to it because he got blown up at the end of the year. He's going to get blown up in the playoffs. And at the end of the day, which pitcher meant more to their team? Tarik Skubal to the Indians or Garrett Crochet to the Boston Red Sox? Which team had more of a solid, complete product around them? Detroit, who was arguably the best team in baseball at one point, or the Boston Red Sox that are just, you know, your distant cousin that might come over for a cup of coffee, and then they trade Devers. And then you look at their numbers really quickly. Tarik Skubal didn't match him in wins, didn't match him in strikeouts, but yeah, matched him in, you know, did better in whip and did better in ERA and whatever. But look at the ballparks too. Garrett Crochet ended up having a couple of games where he ended up getting, you know, he was being trotted out there for an extra inning and was giving up tanks, three home runs in an inning, two home runs in an inning. Just, it wasn't looking good. I still think if you have to look at their quality body of work over the course of the year, they each had the same number of blips. The unfortunate thing is that those blips that were home runs, Garrett Crochet had a couple more mistakes with, you know, ducks on the pond. And that's the only difference between the two. Otherwise, truth be told, honestly, all jokes aside, if either one of them get it, you're not right and you're not wrong. They're both absolutely incredible. And if you build your team around one of those two guys as your ace, you're going to be set. The difference is Garrett Crochet is going to be a Red Sox for a very long time. Tarik Skubal is not going to be a Detroit Tiger after this contract is over. That is a statement of fact. If you're Tarik Skubal, you're going to want to pitch for a team that actually gives a hoot. Detroit doesn't, and you can tell. I mean, I'm sorry. You can't trot that team out there and think that that's serious. And Tarik Skubal is a good pitcher, but it wouldn't be surprising to see Tarik Skubal put up an Aaron Judge in the postseason performance, which is just absolutely getting his clock cleaned, and they lose game one, completely deflated for game two. I don't care if you put Casey Mize in there. It's not going to matter. Bold prediction, Cleveland in two. Anybody want to say anything else?
I have a question.
Sure, bud. Of course. What's up?
If I'm not saying this is going to happen, but this is like me actually legit asking you. If somehow Crochet gets lit up, and then Skubal like goes out there, shuts him out. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously not going to happen, but you get really good start. Does your opinion change on the Cy Young?
If you are only voting based on the regular season, then it shouldn't matter what happens in the postseason. However, I'm sure that the people voting will take that into consideration. If Garrett Crochet shuts him out, seven innings, strikes out 12, allows two hits and no runs, and Tarik Skubal allows seven earned on two plus with five strikeouts, do you think that Tarik Skubal's still going to win? Because my belief is, if by your comments, I think he would lose. But the rest of the people that are voting, whether they should be or shouldn't be is a different question. I think they're still going to give it to him because they think that he had the better regular season, which is wrong, but that's my opinion. You know, regular season is how you should be voted. Postseason shouldn't matter towards the awards.
For what it's worth, their votes are already in. So,
all right, if their votes are already in, yeah, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, I wasn't talking about the media. I was talking about you personally. Like, would your opinion change? Like, because I'll be honest, me, and this isn't just even if for a Red Sox. For me, like when I watch it, I can't say it doesn't impact my vote, because for the exact reason you said, when you say does Garrett Crochet, who means more to their team? Well, if Garrett Crochet absolutely just screws the pooch against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium and I'm going home, I don't give a crap what he did in the regular season. That's just me personally. And I would say the same if I was a Detroit Tigers fan. If Screwball had this great and they're like, oh, he deserves it over Crochet, and then he screws the pooch against the Guardians, I don't want to hear about it.
That's the beautiful thing is you're not wrong because it's your opinion. And therefore it's fair. It's valid, right?
Thank you,
Troy. I live to serve, you know. So I'll say this much, right? I've been saying that Garrett Crochet should be the Cy Young last year. A year ago, I was calling this guy. And for those that don't believe it, go listen to those other shows. You're going to have a lot of homework to do. This guy's he's going to be, if not the best pitcher this year, will continue to be a top two pitcher in all of baseball for the next 3-4 years, barring an injury or setback, right? So I guess it could, in theory, maybe change my opinion a little bit. But at the end of the day, if I really had to have a choice between one of those two guys, everybody already knows who I'd rather have. I'll just leave it there. Anything else you guys want to add? Fantastic. Padres at Cubbies. This is going to be an interesting one. I'm very curious to see how this one goes. Chris, you have the lead off.
This is where it sucks to be the sacrificial lamb because this is going to be the hardest one for me to pick. I'm going to say Cubs strictly just because of the fact that they were so dominant at home and the Padres royally struggled on the road this season. This is a toss-up for me. I mean, both teams have firepower. It would not shock me if the Padres won because, I mean, at the end of the day, that the Cubs kind of reeled a little bit towards the end of the season. But I'm going to go with Cubs. And I'm going to say in three.
There we go. Thank you. Perfect. Jason.
I'm going San Diego on this one. I just think the Padres, I know, you know, their road struggles are real, but they have so much firepower in that offense. And I like their pitching a little bit better. Like, I couldn't believe it when I saw that Matthew Boyd is going to be the game one starter for the Cubs. I didn't even think he was still in the league. I had to look it up. I'm like, wow, no, he's still in the league and actually had a good year for them.
He was good this year, yeah.
Yeah, at age 34, like, okay, he kind of rebounded there. But, like, he's their best guy. You know, the Cade Horton is hurt. Imanaga's out. Obviously, they lost Justin Steele at the beginning of the year. So they're missing a lot of pitching. And they were really good at home this year. But I just think that San Diego team, like, they turned into monsters in October. I think Tatis is going to go off. Machado's going to go off. Like, because I think they look at the Dodgers, who we'll get to in a little bit, I think they look at them and say, they're vulnerable this year. They were not the dominant runaway best team in the league this year. We have a chance to take them down and finally go to the World Series. So I think the Padres' offense is just going to be too much. I don't think the Cubs' starting pitching can hold up. I think it's going to be a high-scoring series. But at the same time, I look at who San Diego's putting out their first two games. It's Pivetta and Cease. Now, Pivetta in October, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. He's been dominant there in the regular season, but this is a different animal. Dylan Cease, we know, can be dominant. Right now, they're slating, if there is a game three, for it to be Yu Darvish. I doubt they actually go that route because he was not very good this year. But yeah, I just think San Diego's got too much. And that bullpen is disgusting. That super pen that they built at the trade deadline, like, if they're up 3-0 early, forget about it. You're not touching them. So I'm going to go Padres. I do think it's going to go three games. I think the Cubs will have sort of an offensive outburst in one of these games and might happen against Pivetta. So I think it'll go three, but I'm going Padres in three.
All righty. Terry.
I agree with Jason. The Padres have been there four times out of the last 6 years. A lot of those guys, I mean, Xander Bogaerts has a ring. Manny Machado has played in a World Series with the Dodgers. Jackson Merrill is an absolute beast. I trust their bats a little bit more. I think the pitching is kind of shaky all across the board, if I'm being honest. With Pivetta, I trust him. He was a big game pitcher for the Red Sox, came through in some big games. In the 2021 postseason, most of those were just in long relief, just absolute dominant three, four inning performances. So I trust Pivetta. I don't know about Cease. Jason mentioned Darvish. I looked at Darvish's last three games, though, and he's given up three or less earned runs. Two of those three games, he didn't issue a walk. So without going through all of his game logs, he at least ended the season on a positive note for a guy who is probably, what, 39, 40 years old, something like that. He got his five-year deal at, like, age 37. I'm like, what are the Padres doing? You know? But so it's a hard series to predict, but I like the Padres. And then, as Jason mentioned, they've got a few different guys in the back of their bullpen that touch 100. Tons of swing and miss in that bullpen. I can't see them coughing up any leads if they have them. So, gun to my head, taking the Padres.
In two or three?
I'll say three.
Nick?
Yeah, this is easily, I think, the most difficult series to call. I mean, these are two very similar teams in a lot of ways. Both very good offenses. I think when it comes to the rotation, I would give an edge to the Cubs. When it comes to the bullpen, I would give an edge to the Padres. I could see this going either way. I almost feel like it being in Wrigley is going to give the Cubs a bit of an advantage. Despite that, my gut is telling me Padres in three. I feel like, you know, like Terry alluded to, this is a team that's been here a lot, you know, and there's a lot of lights that they have to perform under. This team needs to prove itself, because I imagine they're really tired of every season getting to October's doorstep and falling short of the World Series. You know, I think that this is the moment, but if they are to falter, I think that starting rotation is going to be exactly why. For some reason, those guys, you know, Pivetta's good, but, you know, you look at Cease, who's good, he's got the strikeout ability, but he just doesn't really have the season numbers for some reason this year to prove it. And, you know, you Darvish, if you're rolling him out there third, I don't know how you're going to do that. So I feel like if the Padres are going to lose, it's going to be because of that rotation. But I think they have enough in the tank right now to take a three-game series from the Cubs. I'll give it to the Padres in three.
So I'm giving it to the Padres, and it's because of what I witnessed live in front of my eyes when the Boston Red Sox went to San Diego and just got absolutely trounced. I mean, Michael King, all-star reliever from the Yankees, and makes his way in the move for Juan Soto, one of the dumbest trades of all time, ends up being an elite starting pitcher, strikes out 200 in his first season, ends up going down for a significant period of time, comes back. We go to that game on Saturday night. 14 strikeouts from your relievers. And I'm going to say it again, because that bullpen is quite possibly the equivalent to what the Los Angeles Dodgers were intending to build collectively for their whole team. The best offense, the best starting rotation, the best bullpen, the best catcher, the best first base, the best everything, right? The Padres did that specifically for their bullpen. Everybody in that bullpen, to Jason's credit, can strike you out twice or three times. And they have guys that can go two innings or more and strike out the side, not once, but twice. That's insane. So you bring out, you know, and the crazy thing is that they lost one of their better relievers for the rest of the year, and it didn't change a thing. They just had somebody else fill in, and that was it. Nick Pivetta had a career season, 13-5 record, sub 3 ERA, just under 200 strikeouts. Never saw that in Boston. I wish, but it didn't happen. Chicago scored nearly 100 more runs than the Padres this year. That's facts. You could look it up, right? The difference is, though, if you can shut those bats down with elite pitching, your runs don't mean anything. They mean boo. So the fact of the matter is, if you have if you have to trust a team based on what is going to get you to the next level, it's going to be your pitching. And San Diego will beat Chicago. Again, Steele, not there. Some of their other pitchers, also haven't really been performing. Matthew Boyd had a ridiculous like coming of Jesus season, but that's not going to be enough. And you can't put all the pressure on a guy, Pete Crow Armstrong, who is basically leading your team along with your right fielder. I can't think of his name right now. I've drawn a blank. Former Houston Astro.
Kyle Tucker,
who was injured. And I don't know how he's been as of late, but you can't depend on those two guys alone. It's just not going to work. And on top of that, I don't have their slashes in front of me, but the San Diego Padres have both righties and lefties that can get you out. So it's not going to matter. If they have to pitch situationally to you, they'll do it and they'll still win. So I'm going to say Padres in three for this one, and it hurts to say it, but you also touched up on the pedigree by some of these players. Manny Machado, playoff experience. Xander Bogaerts, playoff experience. Nick Pivetta, playoff experience. Nothing against the Cubs. Most of these guys are young. I mean, they were playing in high school a couple of years ago. Xander Bogaerts was winning a World Series a couple of years ago, it feels like. So there's a difference in class of player. These are people that have already, you know, set expectations and already understand what they need to do to get it done. The Cubs are just happy to be here. They won the World Series in 2016, but it's been a little while since they've been a really relevant team in the National League. So Padres in three. Anything else you guys want to add? Cool. We will wrap it with the Cincinnati Reds against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Chris, you have the floor.
Rooting for Francona, other than that, this is over in two. There's no way the Reds... Listen, let's face it. And I'm not trying to be a jerk to Cincinnati Reds fan. This is really great that you guys just, you know, fought a little less hard to lose than the Mets. But that's the reality. That's why you're in the playoffs at this point. And I'm sorry to all the Mets fans that live here in New York. You guys have been crying all day. But the truth is, I don't see how they do win. And I'm rooting for Francona. But to be honest with you, I kind of want the Dodgers to win because I am predicting the Yankees to knock out our Red Sox. And if that's going to happen, I want all the powerhouses still around because Yankees win this series, pretty good chance they may end up in the World Series. And if they end up there, I want to make sure that there's a team there that's going to knock them out. So I'm going to take the Dodgers in two.
Yeah, I want Jason so badly to vote and pick the fighting Franconas over there, but they are so overmatched in this one. It's not even funny. First of all, they're on the road. They've been a dreadful road team this year, 38-43 in road games. They are a team that absolutely benefits from their stadium. For those of you who don't know, Great American Ballpark, the way it's built, the wind basically comes from the back. So it comes through home plate to the outfield. So they hit a lot more home runs at home than they do on the road. Having to go to LA to that bigger stadium, that's going to hurt them. The pitching matchup's not in their favor. They get Snell and Yamamoto right out of the gate. Like, forget about it. With that offense, it's, you know, they've been pretty inconsistent all year. They got some guys with some pop that can make a little bit of noise, but going up against, you know, a top tier pitching staff like that, they just don't have it. And then the season series, they're 1-5 against the Dodgers in the season series this year. So Dodgers have their number. They've got the pitching. They've got the lineup. They got the home field advantage. It's just, Cincinnati, unfortunately, really doesn't stand much of a chance in this one. So Dodgers in two.
Terry.
I want the Reds to win this so bad. Before I destroy the Reds, you've got Terry Francona managing against the guy who stole him that base in the ninth inning of game four. Like, it's just, you couldn't script it anyway. That's why, I mean, if Francona comes away with this, as you know, the dude's a wizard. But I just went through the Cubs. Reds. I do know what teams are playing in this matchup. And every major category, home runs, batting average, on base, OPS, doubles, they ranked 16th, or in a lot of those cases, much worse. I could not find one major category where they're even in the top half of the league. So I think that speaks a little bit to the, I don't know, the state of Major League Baseball right now. They won 83 games, two games above 500. The Red Sox won 84 last year, by the way. Missed the playoffs by a lot. 83 was good enough to get the Reds in. Blake Snell had double-digit strikeouts in two of his last three. Only pitched like 60-something innings this year, by the way. But, you know, they just had so much depth. You know, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. I can't come up with any rational argument. And believe me, I love Terry Francona so much that I would try, but I can't. Dodgers in two.
Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say the exact same thing. I mean, who doesn't want Cincinnati to come away with this? You know, who doesn't want Hunter Green to go down there and, you know, mow the Dodgers down in order? But I just think that the Reds are a team that's lacking, you know, and it's funny because you look at the National League, the first through five seeds are all pretty damn good. I mean, those are some nice lineups, nice rotations, nice bullpens. And then the Reds are there who are just kind of waddling along. Oh boy, we made it. You know, I think right now the Astros are probably wishing they were back over in the National League because that sixth seed, even if it was the Mets, you know, on paper, they're much better than the Reds, but they weren't able to get it done. You know, I just don't see Cincinnati being able to walk away with this. I mean, the Dodgers are a super team. Everyone's tired of them, but it's true. From top to bottom, that team has no excuse to not make the World Series again, and anything short of that is going to be a failure. I think that they might hit a speed bump after this round, maybe, but I do not see that speed bump being named Cincinnati. I give it to the Dodgers in two.
Okay, cool. Dodgers in two. This has been a great show. Here are the reasons why Cincinnati stands absolutely no chance, and it's really disappointing that Cincinnati, you know, Terry, you already brought up the point. You kind of took it from me. And going fifth is kind of tough when you go after the four of you gents, all very talented and very knowledgeable. Cincinnati's top hitters on their team, if you look back at it, were Ellie De La Cruz and Spencer Steer. Ellie De La Cruz played every single game. Spencer Steer played almost every single game, and they barely got to 20 home runs. No one had 90 RBIs. The Los Angeles Dodgers had four guys on their team with over 22 home runs. Shohei Ohtani, who broke his record of 54 with 55. He's like a god among men. Andy Páez, who had 27. Teoscar Hernandez, who was injured, had over 22, 23, 24, something like that. And then you have Freddie Freeman, who's always going to be in that 20 to 25 range. Mookie Betts also had 20. And was sick for basically the entire year. Like, if you guys remember him at the beginning of the season, he looked very ill. He looked like he lost 15 to 20 pounds. He looked like he weighed like 150 pounds. It was really sad. And I'm not a Mookie fan. I married a Dodgers fan, so I have to deal with that. But you still don't want to wish ill on someone that makes baseball better. And when Mookie is playing, you want to watch that game. Max Muncy had 19 home runs and only played 100 games. And then you have Will Smith, who was injured and also played just over 100 games. So you have literally seven guys on the team that have more pop than your best hitter who played all season long. So why is this going to possibly even be entertained for more than two? Like, it's mental. It's absolutely mental. So the Dodgers outscored the Cubs by like 170 runs. The Reds just, they don't stand a chance. It's over. It's done. I hear some, you know, it is what it is. I don't know about you guys, but yeah, that's it. Done. Anything else you guys want to add for that one?
No, I think you wrapped it up. I mean, this is easily, I think, the most lopsided. I wouldn't be surprised if any of the other three matchups goes against what I picked. You know, it really is that type of matchup. this one, if the Reds find some way to beat the Dodgers, I mean, that'll probably be one of the best postseason Cinderella stories in a long, long time.
Yeah, just match the season of like all the craziness that happened. Imagine having a $340 million payroll, not make the playoffs. Terry, did you have something you want to say?
I got nothing.
That's a first. Chris, anything?
Well, you know what, Terry, you reminded me. I mean, so much for that NL dominance. I mean, all we did is hear all year about, oh, the NL, so much better than the AL. Well, I mean, look how things shook out. The third wild card in the AL is 87 wins, and then you got the Cincinnati Reds about to get their butt spanked by the Dodgers.
I'm just kind of – it's going to be fun just to see if, you know, it, you know.
Terry, it's kind of fun to watch a truck hit a car, but I mean,
something crazy.
We all know the end result's not fun.
But yeah, you know, that series follows the Red Sox series every night, and I think we all know by now, including most of the audience, the Red Sox have all three starts at 6:08 Eastern. Sorry, Charlie. And then you get to at least take a peek at the Reds and the Dodgers and be like, all right, let's just see. And I don't know.
With those scores, it's going to be like a football game all week. You don't have to wait till Thursday night football.
So first game here is 1:00 Eastern, Tigers Guardians. The next game is at 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific. That's Pods Cubs. Then you got the Sox and Yankees, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. That's rough on ESPN. And that's going to be Red Sox Yankees. And then Reds Dodgers, 6 p.m. Yeah, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. I mean, for those that aren't working tomorrow, you guys have, in theory, 11 hours of baseball. Like, there's a possibility of 11 hours of baseball all in one day. Just shut the door, ignore everybody, put food in the room, and you're good. Take bathroom breaks, and you could watch 11 hours of baseball. I don't know if I'm going to have that luxury of being able to watch, you know, that much in a day, but you better believe my eyes will be watching that Red Sox game. Absolutely.
Every year I look at it like that and I'm like, oh, this is going to be so amazing. But then I just don't get into it in the early rounds. I don't know what it is. And I'm glad it's the Tigers and the Guardians because, I mean, neither one of them really deserve to be in it, in my opinion.
I'm sorry. I think if you end up absolutely hauling ass, excuse the language, for the end of the season and you make up 15 games and end up taking it, you deserve to be there. Tigers are the team that shouldn't be there. Put Houston in, take Tigers out.
They just didn't really add pieces. And not that they ever do, but, you know, a team that truly wants to win should.
Sure, I agree.
So that's where I was going with it.
Last year, the Tigers...
I mean, you could say the Red Sox didn't really add pieces either, funnily enough.
No, they didn't. They absolutely didn't.
I said, talking about buying championships, I was like, well, I wish we were that team.
I said on a recent show, if you added Suarez, Joe Ryan, and what, maybe one more bat, I forget who I mentioned, it's a much different team. Like, you're possibly a World Series favorite to appear in the World Series on the AL side. And the Red Sox could have done it, and they chose not to. You know,
well, if you don't trade Chris Sale like an idiot for a player who didn't even make an appearance in 2025, you have your 1-2. You have lefty-lefty versus lefty-lefty, right? I think – am I not correct? Is it going to be two lefties or no?
Yeah, against the Yankees, yeah. Fried and Rodon.
Yeah. So imagine that. Like, what an epic showdown that would be. Or imagine that. You have Chris Sale in the one slot and Garrett Crochet pitches game two. We know we're seeing game three. But you know that's not going to be the order. Either way, I mean, honestly, you can attribute so much failure to this team because the Red Sox stupidly traded Chris Sale for a bag of peanuts and literally paid the other team to take that deal. I mean, it was just awful. Awful.
And it's not even just Sale isolated. You know, this team has a bad habit of making bad decisions at the end of the day. We have talent sitting in our hands, man, and we let them walk somehow. You know, I saw some speculation about, you know, oh, the Sox are going to sign Schwarber in the offseason. We should have signed him 4 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. Sale trade, that's one that I'll never get over.
Yeah, no. Do we know what the playoff roster is going to look like? Do we have the official breakdown of what we have on the team or no? I don't know if we have it locked.
Yeah, Giolito short, I don't know.
Yeah, Giolito's not there. He's missing this one, and I'm actually concerned. I think if Giolito is not going to play, that puts a severe damper on the Red Sox playoff hopes going into the ALDS, ALCS, because if you're losing what was supposed to be your third guy, dude, that's going to be brutal.
And to speak about the Red Sox making bad moves, Quinn Priester, absolutely insane season with the Brewers. And guess who only gave up one earned run in three starts for the Phillies?
Walker Buehler.
Walker Buehler, yeah.
Walker Buehler, yeah. So, you know, and who's our game four starter if we need one? Let's just fantasize that we're going to the ALCS. Who's your game four starter?
Not Buehler.
Did you say the ALCS?
I threw it out there.
I mean, I'll tell you, if we're in the ALCS game four, put Charlie in. I don't give a
crap. Yeah. Yeah, do that. That'll be fun. Quinn Priester actually lost his last game of the season. Before that, his last loss was May 13th.
Jeez.
He had a losing record on May 13th. No, he allowed three earned runs. No, I mean, he was consistently allowing three earned against Cincinnati.
Let me ask you guys, because yesterday was interesting in the fact that the Sox, the Yankees, and the Blue Jays all played at the same time. So we had no way of knowing how this was going to shake out without just watching real time. Were you guys happy that we got the Yankees? Did you deep down hope we were getting someone else? Like, who out of all the teams that were in play, who did you want?
Who did you want, Chris?
Not the Yankees. Yeah.
No. So it's Toronto or New York. Those are the only two options, right?
Honestly,
I think there was a possibility for one other option. Was there not?
Cleveland was a possibility if Detroit beat us and then Cleveland.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
We would have been the sixth seed and played Cleveland.
Tigers had the tiebreaker against us.
Yeah, exactly. I'll say this. Okay. The Yankees probably are the tougher team, but I think the Blue Jays are the worst team of the two if they're cold after sitting for 5 days. So, like I said in the war room, you're either good or you're not. So, let's just face the Yankees. You got Crochet game one. Theoretically, that's a win. I gave the Red Sox a win in game one. And then you steal that series, you might have an easy path to the ALCS. So I'm glad it shook out the way that it did.
Yeah, I'm glad we have the Yankees. I mean, out of everyone in this postseason, as far as the American League is concerned, I mean, the Tigers, I think, are the softest team, without question. You know, I would have loved a three-game series versus them just to follow up on the end of the season. But yeah, I think the Yankees, we played them well. And, you know, I'm happy that that's our path, to be truthful. I would have dreaded if it was the Mariners or even the Guardians.
Yeah, I mean, you were 9-4 against the Yankees this year. So, you know, that alone, like, that should be in your favor. You had their number all year. So it's tough being on the road. Yankee Stadium's a tough place to play, especially in October. But you've beaten them there before. You can certainly do it again. So I was kind of glad it shook out this way. I think that you can kind of line up the pitching and you can get to them. So, yeah, I was okay with it.
Me personally, I didn't want to face New York, but here we are. So, you know, it is what it is at this point. And it's going to be an interesting finish no matter what. And if you're able to take out the Yankees, you've literally just taken out one of the biggest opponents in the American League. You've made it that much easier for the National League to win. Obviously facts, because if the Red Sox somehow make it all the way to the World Series, I don't think the Red Sox are gonna win, you know. Yeah, Chris, you're laughing, but like, you know, I mean,
oh no,
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. You're not wrong. I'm with you. Like, it is what it is at this point, you know.
I think one of the best things that could happen, all biases aside, is that the Seattle Mariners go to the World Series. That would be an epic World Series just because they're in it, because of their pitching. And that was a team that made moves. You know, I could see Randy Arozarena. I know, guys, but he could have a massive October. Eugenio Suarez didn't get off to a good start in Seattle. Heated up, was white hot going down the stretch. So I don't know. I just think that's the cool story. It, you know, if you're basing it on vibes as well, that's the team I think that has the vibes. So we'll see.
So Terry, you're saying it would be cool to see a team get rewarded for going for it? That's insane.
I mean, call me old school.
What do you think this is, a meritocracy?
Yeah, seriously.
Three of the teams sabotaged themselves. You know, I just,
yeah.
You know, at least the Yankees went out and got Ryan McMahon. I mean, the best bat of, you know, compared to what three teams got. And that's not even saying much. So, yeah, sure. I'd like to see the Mariners.
It'd be fun.
Go to the World Series.
Agreed. Man, I wish Junior was on that team if they're going to go to the World Series. Imagine Ken Griffey Jr. now on that team with Cal Raleigh. Holy crap.
Well, I'll tell you, the Cincinnati Reds still need him.
Yeah.
That's true. They'd probably take him too at this point. Anything else you just want to add? On behalf of the Bastards of Boston Baseball, go Red Sox. For daily articles, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you can go. Everyone have a great evening. Take care.